You are now listening to Halos in the Infield, an Angels baseball exclusive podcast. Hey, 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 it's Todd Fox for Halos in the Infield podcast, and I'm your host along with the other two co-hosts here.
Oh, hi guys, it's Courtney. Nice to be back.
Hi, Fudge Sticks. It's Fernando. Nice to be back.
Fudge Sticks. There you go. Hey. Welcome into the show, by the way, everybody, and thanks for listening. You can check us out on all your podcast platforms and watch this video over at YouTube, where we will have more in-depth, at better times interviews. So, but for this show, we're going to get into some of the off-the-field stuff, and then we're also going to get into some on-the-field stuff, unfortunately. It seems like we have more to talk about on the off-the-field situation. So with that being said, who wants to start off the show?
Trash.
Okay.
I'm practicing my pitching because we need all the help we can get.
There you go.
Yeah, I was like, if anybody wants to try out for our Angels bullpen, I think we'll probably have open tryouts on Saturday after the Padres game. So go ahead and just line up.
Will there be orange slices and Capri Suns?
Only if we lose. Only if we lose.
Yeah, only if we
you
lose.
Mean when? You mean when?
Yeah, yeah. There you go. There you go. So yes,
I don't know, guys. We're playing the Padres, who are doing just as bad out of nowhere. You know. Our team's garbage right now, but it could be worse. The Padres had like World Series aspirations and trash.
Yeah, it just went out the window. They are a flaming dumpster right now. Just out of nowhere. Like, I don't know what happened. Tatis is playing right field and everybody's like, this is fine. I'm like, huh? Like,
I think it was in center like yesterday, today.
Yeah.
I thought I saw something in center. Today, so this is
Thursday. So he was in right field today. I don't know about the other days, but I seen it today. I was just like, and Padres fans are still like, this is fine as everything's burning. And I'm just like, no, that's not fine. Like, what the heck?
You know, James, oh, go ahead.
Go ahead, bro.
No, I always take you. You go ahead.
Thank you. Because they're so considerate. No, I was just going to say the Padre game went 16 innings the other day. They couldn't win that one. I mean, how do you go 16 in the new rules with the runner at second, first of all? And they're just dropping all these games left and right. We were calling this team, you know, like when we were doing this earlier in the season, we were like, oh, yeah, the Padres are going to be rivaling the Dodgers. And we were wrong with that because right now it's the Giants that are not running away, but they've got a nice lead on the Dodgers. And the Padres might miss the playoffs because I think the Reds jumped them, right?
Yeah. The Padres are not a good man.
But with the Padres coming to town, you know what's going to happen. Win streak. They're going to be.
Yeah. I don't know. The Angels have played the Padres very well the last couple of years. You know, we talked about this off air with Randy in our group chat. Randy's like, yeah, well, they've never played the 2021 Angels. And I'm like, yeah, but, you know, the 2021 Padres aren't exactly killing it right now either. So,
yeah, neither was the 2021 Orioles. And now look at what happened. You know what? Yeah. Anything is possible at this point in the season. So I say we are going to drop these two games and we're just going to keep it pushing as if nothing happened.
Like, it's so difficult because I looked this up and I was telling Fernando about this off air. Is the team is now up to 16 injuries on the major league roster, which is you can count COVID in that too. And that is, to me, a part of the training staff as well too, because you're not either watching how they take their hygiene, because their lives, basically the players' lives, are to be dictated by the training staff, either with workout regimens, food prep, all that stuff. So you should be on these guys, and they should have some guys watching them for curfews, times like that. So if Detmers and along with Warren went out, someone should have been watching them. Someone dropped the ball. That is part of the training staff problem as well. They have like 50 guys. And here we go again, more injuries. Like right when this pitching staff was starting to turn the corner, you know, how many of these guys are now out with injuries, freak accidents, you know, and they're still, we're talking about this weeks later.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, at the end of the day, it just comes from accountability on all aspects, players, training staff, coaches, just everybody alike. I mean, especially when it comes to something like COVID. I mean, at this point, there should be no reason why anybody is on COVID, you know, the IL for COVID. It's not like it's like a brand new thing. Now this is, you know, another year that we've been playing with it, another season. Everybody knows to wear their mask, wash their hands for 20 seconds. I mean, just kind of the basics, you know, and it just seems like now at this point, people don't care. I think this is the first time I think COVID has kind of hit us as an organization, at least that to my knowledge.
I think we've got it a couple times, like before last year, Julio Tejeron.
Yeah, that's
free trading last year had got it,
but yeah, like, but like not like in large numbers to where like we had to like cancel games or something, like a few other organizations,
like not like some like football teams where like football teams it's like taken out training camps.
Yeah, definitely. Or like I think the Marlins almost died last year, like, you know, like that. But
yeah, like half their team had get COVID.
Yeah, exactly. But I mean, other than that, I mean the injuries. You know, I mean, just me being an athlete myself, I know I used to try to take care of myself as much as I could, you know, but then granted in college, we do have a training staff as well, junior college and Division I, you know, and they did what they could for us. So, I mean, at this point, when it comes to small injuries, kind of like strains, you know, I mean, icing, heating yourself, stretching properly, those things, it's accountability from all angles, the players and that our lovely training staff that just can't seem to get with the program.
I, you know, without getting into like the politics of COVID and, you know, how people should be dictated, I mean, you know, like you guys have said several times, and I think all baseball fans and sports fans will acknowledge that, like, these players are, yes, they're people, but they're also held to a different standard. You know, there needs to be some accountability on these guys. Like, you know, you kind of have to have the mindset of, you know what, like, we probably shouldn't go out right now, or, you know, maybe we should be a little more careful about who or where we go out with, maybe monitor things. You know, it's like so many things could go wrong. You know, if you're irresponsible and, you know, or you happen to do something that puts you or your team at risk, well, all of a sudden, not only are you affecting, you know, yourself, you're affecting, you know, a group of 25 or 26 potential players, and then guys get called up, and then who knows, maybe there was a lapse in any kind of testing, and now you're affecting even more guys. Like, I don't know, as of right now, I feel like you got to take more responsibility. I'm kind of slurring over my words, but I'm basically saying the same thing Courtney said. You know, I don't know. I just it wouldn't even be as frustrating with the COVID thing if it wasn't for everything else that's happened this year with the training staff.
No, I agree. I mean, like, without even the COVID, like, look what you guys brought up last week with Cobb. You know, he started out with a freaking, you know, you're thinking, okay, 1 to 2 days, maybe he just misses one start. And that was a freaking blister. And then it turned into a wrist. And we've had just multiple injuries to where it's like, you know, if they may have, maybe Rendon doesn't get shut down for the entire season, or if they catch it earlier in the year. You can't tell me that's something that put him on the IL three times, that finally the third time was a charm, and you're like, oh, okay, let's run an MRI. You should have did that the first time around. It's just there's a lot of common sense stuff that's just not happening with this training staff. And it's beating up the overall roster to where yesterday's game, today's game, they all look like minor league pitchers out there, because they are minor league pitchers. They're guys that are not ready yet. And you're bringing them up on the major league staff. And yeah, the Orioles suck ass, but the Orioles still can hit, and they pounded us. So, I mean, it's a tough watch. It's a tough sell, you know? And here we are as Angel fans talking about, hey, are you going to Saturday's game? Cause we are, you know, so we're trying to drag Courtney into Saturday's game. Wow. So,
You want to know what's like what like sad? You There's said fireworks. Like Alex, yeah. You said Alex Cobb, and I forgot Alex Cobb was even in the organization. You know, it's not because he's been bad. It's just because, you know, he's not exactly a name that immediately jumps to your mind when you think Angels. But it's like it's so weird to think like that we've been playing since April. Like it feels like this is like five different seasons.
Yes,
like. Can you guys remember when we started doing shows? Or, I mean, when you were on the other show and, like, you brought me on as a guest, it's crazy to remember that we were talking about, like, oh, we had a good, you know, we were 500 in April. That's amazing. Like, it feels like it was a different decade ago.
No, I feel you, Fernando. That feels like such a long time ago, dude. It does. It feels like at least one or two seasons ago.
Yeah, and it was what, 3 months ago?
Yeah.
Four months ago?
I've said this on the post game. This has been, you know, being an Angels fan since 86 when I first watched it at 6 years old, I have never been more frustrated in a season than this season. This season,
well, you never covered a season like you have this year.
That's true. That's true. But I did follow religiously as a fan from 13 upwards. So from like 93 upward, I was like watching every game, or at least trying to, reading newspaper clippings before the internet. See how far I go back. But see,
like,
I
just, a Father Time over here, Courtney.
There he is. Grandpa Fox right here.
Oh, yeah, right.
But I just, dude, I just can't believe how frustrating this season is, and there's more to come, as we'll talk about.
Ew.
Don't go there.
Okay, so if you guys really had to, like, boil it down to one thing you're the most frustrated about, besides the obvious injuries, what do you think you're the most disappointed about this season? Because, you know, the obvious answer, everyone's going to be like, oh, all the listeners at home, like, oh, well, it's all the injuries. But that's always been a thing, you know, for, like, the last – what, 6-7 years. Mm-hmm. So, you know, what else would you guys think frustrates you the most?
Still the lack of pitching, like, besides now, but like just not having that consistent bullpen. Cause even, or, you know, just pitching rotation in general. Cause even when we had, you know, we had good starters a month ago, I think we were talking about how we were turning it around. We're like, oh my God, we have Cobb, we had Sandoval, you know, we had Otani.
Rodriguez.
Exactly. Yep. So exactly. We had all these amazing starters. And now I think half of those are either back down in AAA on the IL, you know, and it's just like, oh, okay, what happened? To me personally, it's still our pitching. I think that's probably the most frustrating thing.
For me, I'll just make it short and sweet. Like Courtney was saying, I'll piggyback a little bit off the pitching, but I think it's just like we haven't been inconsistent. Well, we haven't been consistent all year. Like, if it's not one thing, it's another, and it just trickles down. And it's so frustrating because when one problem gets solved, the other one rears its ugly head. It's like, why can't we just play as one? And if it's not this, it's that. It's the managing. It's that's what's got me.
You know, for me, if there's one thing I've always hated about Joe Maddon, I mean, this is even like when he was managing the Cubs or the Rays, he's always been one of the worst managers when it comes to bullpen management. Mm-hmm. I mean, let's think back to what, 2016, when he won the World Series for the Cubs. He literally ran like Aroldis Chapman into the ground. Aroldis Chapman pitched horribly that playoff series. And I'm sure you guys remember, because he was getting used and abused. And, like, Joe Maddon just loves to abuse his closers. Well, we're up by 12 runs. Get ready, Rysel. You're going in. We're losing by 52 runs. Get ready, Rysel. You're pitching 4 innings today. And he did that with the Cubs and Aroldis Chapman. I mean, Aroldis Chapman, arguably the best closer in baseball. But when he was with the Cubs, that, you know, he almost blew the World Series for them. Mm-hmm. It's because he was used so much and he was so misused. You know, he goes to the wrong arms all the time. And that's really, like, if there's one thing that frustrates me, it's Joe Maddon and his bullpen management. I don't even care about his lineup. Sometimes his crazy-ass lineups work. You know, the guy's a lunatic. I get it. But, you know, you got to be a right kind of crazy to be a manager. But, like, he takes it to, like, the next level.
Agreed.
Yeah, I mean, you learn how to use your bullpen. But, yeah. Another thing is the bullpen in general. Every Angels fan would probably say that. But, you know, one thing I think we got a little spoiled by with the Billy Epler thing, and people are going to think I'm crazy, but if you really think about it, you'll realize I'm not totally off. We never had a bad bullpen with Billy Epler. We never had any household guys who were great closers. But overall, the bullpen was always decent. I mean, who was our weakest link? Cam Bedrosian? Yeah, you know, Keenan Middleton. And I mean, Keenan Middleton's like a career 3.8 ERA guy. He's not great, but he's not horrible. Like, that was your weakest link. Right now, our strongest, besides Raisel Iglesias, is like, what, Austin Warren. And after those two guys, it's just 50 pounds of crap. Like, I would have taken almost anybody from our last like six bullpens over who we have today.
Yeah, to fill the gaps. Yeah, we just. They've tried some things this year, but I think you just can't fix it off the cuff. You've brought some arms up. I think there still could be some arms to be brought up to help out. But, you know, just the way it's going right now, it's like this is such a lost season. The amazing thing for me is how the hell we're this close to 500. Like, I honestly think we should be somewhere where the Orioles are at, given everything that's happened. But
it's the guy behind you, yeah. Roger Lodge. Roger, oh, it's his positivity.
I am Rally Chris.
It's their positivity. I mean, you know, every fan base needs them. Hey guys, we're gonna keep winning. Don't you worry, we're making the playoffs.
Yep, yep.
Everybody needs that optimism, because I mean, you can't have negative Nancy's like me to say like, oh, we're trapped.
Hey, yeah, we're gonna have you and Randy to deal with on the group chats.
Yeah, exactly.
Shout out to Randy. Fast time going to the Halo. Follow our boy. We love him.
Best designer out there. Yes.
Yeah, he's ours. Back off.
Oh, man. Yeah, so transitioning into now the offseason, which is going to be upon us before you know it. And once again, we won't be playing there in October. But during the postseason run, I don't know when the exact court date is. It might actually be at the end of September as well. But new,
I think it's November.
Is it?
I thought they just announced that it was November.
Okay, so right in the heart of the first couple weeks of free agency, when we're trying to attract some big names to come to Anaheim to help save this franchise, because of the guy right here, Artie Moreno, not willing to say, you know, I'm worth billions, I'm going to take care of Skaggs and his family and his mom and just make this go away. Because even if he says it like that and it sounds bad, make this go away, he's dealing with it. But he's not dealing with it. Now, all the team's dirty laundry that come, but I got a text from a Houston Astros fan, and it was also a post from a Houston Astros page that said, okay, so the Astros get killed for cheating in game, yet the Angels are running a drug ring. Seems fair. And I'm like, dude, I really can't argue that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think we can argue it, but I mean, you know, once again, that's, you know, not our fault as fans. That's certainly the guy behind you's fault. I mean, how oblivious could you be?
Mm-hmm. Well, I think their
this
point
was, have been going for a long time.
Well, yeah, their point was, as a page, was, hey, how come we're not getting killed as a franchise? You know what I mean? Like, they're out there getting booed at every stadium they travel to, and the Angels are just like, whatever.
Yeah, but they cheated the game of baseball. At the end of the day, Artie Moreno just cheated himself and his organization. You know, he's definitely not a fit owner to own a team. I don't know why I keep pointing at like you, but I mean, Artie Moreno's like right here.
I didn't keep pointing like it's his fault.
I didn't do it.
Artie Moreno's like right here to me. I'm grabbing his headphones.
Well, let me ask you guys this question. Yes or no? Do you think that man right there, that one you keep referring to, Artie Moreno, is blood guilty?
Blood guilty?
Mm-hmm. Do you think he's...
Can you define blood guilty for me in this particular instance?
Okay.
Because, you know, he's not the one, you know, it wasn't like a murder where he, like, shot a gun.
Well, can we use it in a sentence?
Okay.
Like, spelling bee.
Let me use it in a sentence. All right.
We don't host out. True crime podcasts like you, Todd.
Oh, okay. Sorry. By the way, check out Grinding True Crime. But here's the thing. You have, let's just say, because we're going to find out how high this goes. Now, Moreno may have not known anything about it. Maybe it's just the team president, Cool, or whatever his name is, Dennis Cool. Yeah. Maybe it's him. I heard it's big time rumors he knows about it. So maybe, just maybe, Artie does. So if Artie does know even an inclination of it, a man's death, and he's found, and they're found liable to pay out, is he blood guilty, in your opinions?
I don't know. I mean, it's really going to depend on how they handle everything. I mean, Eric Kay is the guy who was distributing, right?
Mm-hmm.
Is that an assisted murder technically?
I believe so, because it is dangerous.
Like accessory, kind of an accessory, yeah, murder.
Because it was not only OxyCotton, it was fentanyl too, and fentanyl is probably one of the.
It was laced with fentanyl. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's, I mean,
Michael Jackson.
That's okay. that's a killer drug, literally, no pun intended. But that's,
oh yeah.
And you're distributing to it players, and obviously, I mean, first things first. I mean, if you guys are running the team, and you hear, hey, there's some drugs being passed around, your first thing should be like, hey, let's nip this in the butt. Let's get it undercover. Let's get this person removed. I don't want my players affected by this. But if they were just like blasé about it, aren't they blood guilty?
Yes.
I mean, do you guys really think they already knew about it? I mean, here's my thing. I mean, when he found out about Josh Hamilton, Josh was out so fast, like yesterday's news.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, right. Because Artie was the one who canned him out of town, right? As soon as he found out about it.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
So do we really think that he wouldn't have done the same thing here?
Well, maybe because it was multiple players. I mean, I don't know, because I know he did do that with Josh.
I feel like it depends on who the players are. That's probably why Artie hasn't said anything,
mm-hmm.
or is probably trying to cover it up, maybe.
Because the other argument is, look, they're not blood guilty in the sense of shoving the drugs down his throat. In the end, these players had to take the drugs themselves. They have to want to have that high and experience whatever gratification to get out of it. But if you're assisting them, you're at least guilty on that, and then covering it up if you did know about it, because you are just, you're like the driver, you know what I mean? Like the driver in a bank robbery, you're participating in some way. It's a hard one to, like, for me, I don't know if he can be blood guilty, but I just think conscience wise, I think he's blood guilty. I think he should sit back and examine himself if he knew about it. That's just me.
I just feel negligence, like just the guilt of just being negligent. Cause, you know, like you said, Todd, you know, of course you're not shoving the pills down these players' throat or whatever the case is. They want to be, you know, they have to be willing to do that. But I mean, at the end of the day, you know, whether it was Eric Kay or anybody who knew about the situation that was going on, somebody should have kind of stepped up and said, you know, hey, maybe we should check on these guys. Maybe we should call in a mental health therapist. Maybe we should check in with their families. Like, could have just called anybody at that point to see if they could get some outside help other than some drugs. Like, I mean, at the end of the day, I'm a big mental health person. So of course, talking to a counselor or a therapist is always going to be my first go-to, but I understand a lot of people don't want to do that. But, you know, even if it's just as simple as, you know, reaching out to Skaggs' mom, his wife, you know, somebody like, you know what, hey, I've seen him kind of take a lot of pills. I don't know what they are. I don't know if it's ibuprofen, you know, I don't know, maybe something's going on. Maybe you guys should talk to him. Just anything of that nature. And then as an owner, now after the fact, I feel like Artie is just doing absolutely fucking terrible. You know, for him, for Skaggs, again, Skaggs was kind of one of our main guys. It's not like he was just some 1 or 2 year contract. You know, he was one of our main guys. And for him to just sit there and not only try to sweep this under the rug, but not even try to do it the correct way of, you know, trying to donate to the fund, you know, trying to donate to the family, take care of his wife, just anything. You know, it just shows how much of a cold, heartless bastard he is.
Fernando?
Yeah, man. I mean, we've talked so much off air about this and on air at this point about just how it's just a never ending cycle of Artie showing, you know, the kind of person he is. I mean, it's just, you know, if this happens for a certain period of time and you don't find out about it, you know, okay, a year, maybe longer. I mean, how long could this have been happening? It had to have been a long time, right? Because from my understanding, Tyler Skaggs had developed the addiction after his surgery, right? Did he have Tommy John?
Yes.
Yes.
So a lot of people say that's probably where the addiction took place, you know, right around the Tommy John phase. Obviously, you take, you know, prescription pills. Every time I've ever had surgery, I've made a point to not want, you know, anything, you know, myself, because I don't even want to flirt with the idea of, hey, this might happen.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know why. To me, the idea of like opening up the door for potential substance abuse, it's not that I don't trust myself. It's like, why would I even do it if I really don't have to? So, you know, I just don't know, man. It's just it's a hard concept for me to grasp that, A, he was so negligent to not know anything was happening. B, that maybe he did know and he just didn't care, which, I mean, I'd like to give him the benefit of the doubt as a human that that wouldn't have been the case. But you just never know with Artie Moreno. You just don't. It's just a frustrating situation because it's progressively getting worse. You know, how do you not take care of this outside of court? Why are you going to let this get so much worse? One question I have for you guys is, do you guys think the other five players, you know, at least that we know of so far, whose names will get dropped at some point, were Angels, either formally or currently? Or do you think some of them were other organizations?
From my understanding, they were current with not now, but I mean, at the time that the drug ring was going on, there were five players specifically that were on the Angels other than Skaggs. I believe we traded one of them. And I think we've alluded to that. So
I remember there was a list of like suspected names. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know if you guys remember when it first started, they said that there was a few people. Mm-hmm. Who were suspected. So I don't remember for a fact.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if it was current players like from that roster from that year.
Mm-hmm. 2019?
Yeah. Yeah, from that 2019 year. But I mean, it just goes to show, excuse me, like just the ominous black cloud that has been surrounding the Angels organization basically for the last 2-3 years, you know, between the drug ring, and then we got Dick Pick Mick, and then we have I don't know what else. We had the character named Albert Pujols that was damn near a cancer on a team. You know, I mean, just a lot of bad stuff just surrounding this organization for the last couple of years. Again, just Artie. And then, you know, now our minor league teams don't even have food. So, you know, it just goes to show, you know, this is just one more thing that Artie is just continuing to, I guess, try to turn his head to as if it's not happening. And maybe that's okay in his little head. And, you know, but to the rest of us, we all see it. And we are all very aware of it and the fact that he's not doing anything about it.
My last thing on this one is if there is a paper trail, like we've seen major politicians get in trouble with because of their emails being released to the public, and like if there is a paper trail, any kind of emails will be released in this upcoming, you know, court date or case. And if it does point to Artie, I mean, like, I don't know if anything can be done, but, you know, league-wise, but just the fact that he's just going to have a really, really sour look now to most Angel fans, even the most diehard Angel fans who have been like fighting for Artie, being like, hey, you know, Artie's done this. He lowered beer a long time ago. You know, he's still a great owner. Yeah, I mean, it's going to be something to see how deep this goes. And unfortunately now it's going to be everyone, like I said, everyone's dirty laundry. We're going to find out exactly who was involved, how many players, for how long. It might not just be that 2019 season. That's the thing that scares me as a fan, that we may look back to 2016, 2017, and more names get released, or at least they say that there was players, and it's like, this team just can't take no more negative publicity, is basically my point.
Yeah. Who knows, man? I mean... Yeah, so let's just say that there is some proof, some hardcore evidence that Artie knew and he just kept brushing it off. You know, we know that if there was anything out there proving that he knew, like, it's going to go out. It's going to go to light. Mm-hmm. So if they find evidence that Artie was well aware of it, he's like, whatever, I don't care. Or he just, you know, worked out of his way to try to brush it under the rug and hide it. Do you guys think that that would be enough for Rob Manfred to step in and be like, you need to, you know, we're going to strip you of the team? Kind of like what the MLB did with the Dodgers for a while. And like, didn't the MLB own the Dodgers for like a year before they sold to the current?
No, they just forced McCourt to sell.
Yeah. Okay. Well, with the NBA, they forced, was it Donald Sterling to sell?
They got rid of him. They just basically took the team from him. Yeah.
So do you think they might do that here if there's enough evidence that, hey, this guy did know?
It's hard to say. I just don't think, I mean, as I don't think we'll be that lucky as fans. I just don't see it.
No. We also got to remember how bad of a look it would be for Major League Baseball.
It's going to be a terrible look. It's going to be as it's going to be worse than steroids if you think about it. Steroids just, you know, in the long run, they could kill you because you're overdoing it. But steroids are enhancing, you know what I mean? These are actual drugs that can stop your heart, like obviously what happened.
Well, let me ask you guys this. I mean, you know, especially Todd is, you know, a longtime sports fan that, you know, has a lot more knowledge. Courtney and I are really just baseball, what we care about. But when was the last time? What was that face? When was the last time that anything like this ever happened in sports in your lifetime? Any kind of conspiracy to this extent or situation? Has anything like this ever been seen in your life? That might be a good question to ask your dad, too.
Well, strawberry.
No, she's right. With the Mets, they were the 86 Mets, and prior to that were cocaine laced. That team, yeah, you're absolutely right, Courtney. That
wasn't Strawberry also like a sex addict?
Yeah, they were all doing some crazy shit.
I've heard those weird stories.
Hernandez was drunk all the time. There was Dwight Gooden was on crack. He was smoking crack in the most ghetto areas of Brooklyn prior to a game. Like, I'm talking while they're taking batting practice, he's still not at the stadium. He's too busy smoking crack in a crack house. There's been plenty of colleges that have been busted for bringing in to their own players HGH and things of that nature, hookers, stuff like that, but nothing to a point to where it actually kills a player for the most part.
Yeah. I think I'd said off air, it's like, you know, like you'll hear stories about, like, you know, like people in those commercials are like, oh, stay away from, you know, Vicodin and all this kind of stuff. I was taking like 50 a day for like 3 years. And you're like, what? Mm-hmm. Like, there's people like die from like taking like one spool too many of NyQuil. Yeah. And, you know, and then like you hear these stories about people who are like, oh, yeah, I was taking like 8 pills a day. And I'm like, what?
Yeah. So, like, I know, so I had surgery myself. I completely blew out my knee. I tore my ACL, MCL, meniscus all in one blow. So I was on,
Peg leg.
Yeah, definitely. I was on medication. So I was on my antibiotics for a month. And I also had my painkillers. So I was 18 years old when that happened. I was 3,000 miles away from home because I was in Florida and I didn't have my friends and family like this because this barely happened probably the first month of school, my freshman year. I know I did not handle it well. Thankfully, like I never became like addicted, I should say, but I can definitely tell that my mood was different. Like I was definitely really snappy with my teammates. And I kind of like excluded myself just because like I was honestly bedridden for a month after that surgery before I could really even start doing rehab. So I just know me personally with all those other factors, I definitely felt it taking a toll on me. So that's kind of why I picked the field that I'm going into now, especially when it comes to mental health, because there was a lot going on that one, I didn't even tell people myself. I kind of didn't even tell my own coaches just because I was embarrassed. Like, you know, like nobody wants to say that, like, oh, I feel like a loser because I can't walk right now. You know, like it's embarrassing to say that when you're supposed to be like a top athlete. So I can definitely see where, you know, maybe Skaggs or whoever else is on this list maybe didn't want to say anything or maybe didn't want to admit that they needed help or really anybody for that matter, sometimes don't want to admit that they need help. But I think that's where it's other people's job, like whether it's teammates, families, you know, whoever it is, they need to step up and say that, you know, like, hey, it's okay that you're going through this, but we need to do this the right way. We need to do this in a healthier way, you know, and things like that. You know, it just sucks what happened to Skaggs, you know, if it is, especially if it is because of that injury, you know, because of Tommy John. It's detrimental, you know, like I said, I had to relearn how to walk and, you know, of course, pitchers and whoever has Tommy John needs to relearn how to throw and kind of use their arm again. So I could definitely understand where maybe his headspace was at that time. It just sucks that it got so bad to where, you know, it ended up taking.
It took his life. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's why I think it's that other pitchers involved because They mirror each other as far as the way they conducted themselves on the mound. You know, Skaggs is not Chuck Finley by no means. He had some up and down starts, but his ups were so great. I think a lot of Angel fans were like, dude, this guy could be the ace of this squad easy. And, you know, with failures of Garrett Richards, losing Weaver, I think he was the guy who was going to step in and take the torch. And but then you'd see him come out there one inning, two innings, just look really out of it. His pitches weren't even close. And so then when everything came out, I was just thinking, man, maybe that was the drugs. Maybe, like you guys said, it took him off his focus. He wasn't able to just go out there and do what comes natural to him. And, you know, that clouds your judgment. You know, like her story, Courtney, I you know, I tore my not MCL, but I didn't have to take Vicodin for that. I actually took Vicodin for kidney stones that were super bad. And I wound up getting hooked on those in like in 3 weeks because I couldn't stand the pain and I was just fiending for one. And so once the surgery was over, they had to wing me off it. They had to give me other pills to get off of it. So I could see how easy it is to get addicted. One time in my life, I was actually getting into a dark space because the your body felt like you needed it when it was just all mental, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's just, it's a horrible situation, guys. So, you know, I think another thing we talked about off air was the fact that Rob Manfred admitted that Major League Baseball hasn't been checking players for marijuana for a while now.
Yep.
And I myself don't partake, nor is that something I'm a big fan of, but I will admit that I would much rather have my athletes, you know, doing something that's natural to weed off pain instead of something that's addictive and, you know, deadly like narcotics.
I agree. Yeah,
definitely. I mean, I think that because I think honestly, we don't check for like weed or THC use anymore just because of the fact that it is being legalized in, you know, most states, California being one of them. You know, so it's hard to sit there and try to punish players or athletes for that matter.
Just real quick, if I could throw it out there, I mean, there's a lot of companies that still don't allow, like, if you show up, you know,
yeah,
you can't smoke weed like at McDonald's on a break.
Yeah, no, most definitely. Yeah. But I mean, you know, when it comes to athletes, like you said, Fernando, I would much rather have an athlete be on marijuana than, you know, sit here on Vicodin, you know, or Oxy or whatever else is out there. You know, I think it's just one of those things where it really does need to be regulated. It needs to be something that we need to watch out for because, you know, the 162 games, at least in a baseball season, is very grueling. And, you know, even though baseball doesn't have as much contact as football does, but football goes through just as hard games, you know, even though they only have, what, 15, 16 games a season, if you're not including preseason.
17 now.
Yeah, but they have a lot more contact than we do, you know. So I could just imagine those types of injuries or those types of pains. So, I mean, I think just athletics all across the board, you know, we need to find better and healthier ways to get these players treated as well as, you know, taking away their pain, you know, and I think that needs to come from head organizations as well as training staffs.
I agree. You have to be responsible. I think CBD oil has been proven to help and to be nurturing for those type of injuries. Marijuana, if you want to stick with that, again, like Courtney said, most states it's illegal or it's getting there. I would test for any kind of opiates, like you said, Fernando, or crack, things like that, high energy, like, you know, even speed, because there's players that have been on that in the past too. So, like, if you're going to – I would just let marijuana go, to be honest with you. I mean, it seems like the simple fix it, and it's the healthiest.
Well, I mean, Courtney just brought up the NFL. I mean, that's the one sport where I thought they would have been clamoring for people to smoke marijuana in comparison to some of the other stuff. Because then you see guys like, you know, Brett Favre, who survived off of, you know, pain medicine for so long that the guy can barely remember his teammates' names now. You know, you see players in that kind of state, and you just think to yourself, like, well, what if you would have just done something more natural?
Mm-hmm. I agree.
So.
Okay. Oh, sorry. I was getting some feedback.
Yeah. What is that?
I don't know what that is. I think that's a mic. But yeah, with the drugs in the NFL, they are so strict. But there's nothing like that in baseball or basketball right now. Like baseball and basketball, You could smoke all the weed you want. You could do most of these drugs, and the league just looks the other way. It's just sad when it comes down to death. And, you know, maybe in a sense, as Angels fans, or just fans of baseball in general, that Skaggs was the only one. I know that doesn't sound good. We obviously didn't want him to be the only one or to pass in general, but, you know, it could have been worse. You know, what if a couple other players lost their lives during that season? It's terrible to think of, but, you know, in a sense, it needs to be brought up, and I think that's why this one's going to court. I think the family, yes, they want restitution for what happened, but I think they're also looking ahead for the players in the future, and they don't want this to be repeated, and they don't want, obviously, another family to lose what they lost.
Yeah, definitely. And I mean, you know, a few years ago, I know the Marlins lost their ace.
Jose Fernandez?
Yes. Fernandez. And even though it was from a boating accident, and it's very unfortunate why he was out there at 12:01 in the morning, but he was, he was out there taking a nice little bump. And, you know, and that's very unfortunate as well. And that was in his off time. But, you know, it's, you know, that's something that kind of never got settled either, or at least it's very alarming. You know, so I think right now is, even though I hate to say it, but we need to be made the example, you know, and not just the Angels, not just Artie as an organization, but even Manfred. You know, this really needs to stop here, because it's just unfortunate. And these players and these families need to know that their husbands, boyfriends, you know, they're going to be safe, you know, if they keep playing. And right now, I know, like, if I was a baseball player's wife playing for the Angels at that, I'd be like, watch yourself. Watch yourself. We need to pay your life insurance bill, because no, they're not going to take care of you. You know, so we need to be made the example. So if that means Artie does serve criminal time or even not, but he doesn't need to be our owner anymore.
So if I may for a moment, the thing that makes me the most upset about really everything in the Artie Moreno era, especially since, you know, July 1st, 2019, is the lack of accountability that Artie himself has shown. This would have been a great opportunity for him to, you know, hey, first of all, I want to apologize to the Skaggs family. I want to assure them that we're going to do an investigation amongst our organization. We're willing to cooperate with local authorities, yada, yada, yada. You know, they did that on a piece of paper or whatever when they did their, you know, public statement. But it's much different for an owner to, you know, get in front of cameras and be able to say that kind of information, because then it's a more sincere, you know, you can hear a pain in someone's voice. You can hear urgency in someone's voice. Every time I ever hear Artie speak, he always just kind of sounds like he's making something up. Dude, this guy's wedding vows must have sounded like absolute bullshit. Like, I feel like he literally has made a life and a career out of just blindly, like, you know, feeling his way around life. Like, I really don't think he's somebody who lives life with a purpose, lives life with, like, a meaning. He just kind of, whatever, I'm just going to wake up and do my thing. Like, I feel like that's just kind of the guy he is. He doesn't even look like a guy who cares. I mean, look in that interview. He doesn't look like he's happy to be there. Rogers over here, like, oh, I'm talking to Artie Moreno. And then you got Artie over here, like, yeah, I'm pretty great, aren't I?
I've got sunglasses on.
I bought these sunglasses at Lens Crafters. Yeah, so, you know, he just missed the boat, man. There's multiple opportunities where he could have used this as a, you know, what's obviously a negative. I mean, you lost a player due to A, something that a member of your organization was doing illegally, and B, just something that you never want to see at all. You don't want to see somebody die at a young age from anything like that. It wasn't natural. It wasn't an accident. I guess, you know, the action of dying while taking drugs is an accident, but you guys know what I mean. You know, everyone obviously understands the risk, whether they realize it at that moment or not. But obviously the action's an accident. Most people don't want to die in that situation. But what I'm saying here is, you know, Artie could have easily united the team. And actually, he could have used this as an example To anybody who does want to come here, like, hey, you know what, man? I effed up. My organization messed up. But we're going to make sure this never happens again. We're going to, you know, hire these people or fire these people, whatever him and his people thought was going to be more fitting. You know, this could have easily been an example, and you don't ever want to make this an example, but obviously you're dealt a bad hand here. So he could have done whatever he can to, I don't know, try to make this a decent situation, but he just did it. He's handled it wrong. It's made us look even worse, and it's going to continue to make us look worse.
It's definitely going to sour the offseason, the first offseason by pairing Manassian as well. I mean, we're just going to – I mean, that guy's got an uphill battle as it is. And now he's got to deal with this on the side.
Yeah. We're bringing back Julio Teheran and Tim Lincecum.
Oh, yeah. Sounds like a winning rotation right there.
Oh, yeah. Definitely.
World Series.
You got – oh, and don't forget Cahill. Don't forget Trevor Cahill. Ooh.
Oh, shit.
I like the way you think.
Ooh,
he's still a free agent.
Oh, God.
Yeah, yo, Eric Gagne, what are you doing these days?
Oh, no. Oh, God.
What are you doing, Mr. 102-year-old?
Oh, my gosh. Might as well bring back Pujols.
Hey, there you go. Closer?
No, catcher. Catcher.
Yeah.
Oh, there you go. He's got the cannon back there and the strong knees.
Yeah. They'll be
like Courtney. Knee. Be the like, strong knees in court.
Yep.
Shots fired.
He just called you pool holes.
That's my knees aren't gonna take it, but yeah. That's
just wait until that offseason softball game. We're gonna see her like waddling because of the knees.
Yeah. I swear every softball game I play in right now, I can hit it off the wall. It is the longest single of my life. I'm only going 60 feet. Oh, man. That's it.
Oh, well, she's gonna waddle her way there because of the knees. There you go.
You know it.
Yep. So you guys got anything else? Because we've covered the Skags pretty good, and the dummy to my right or left, however you're looking at it.
No. Screw you, Artie.
Exactly.
Sell the team.
Sell the team.
Exactly. That's gonna be the mantra. I think that we're gonna go to a game in September and hopefully have the paper bags ready. And the sign saying sell the freaking team.
Sell the team. I'll have my bag have eyelashes on it. So
there you go. So we know it's you.
Yeah.
There you go.
We should try to personalize our bags. It'll be kind of like a Build-A-Bear workshop. But for paper bags.
We should actually. That'd be pretty funny.
Dude, we should start selling those.
Do a game show. We should do a game show with our paper bags and then see if our audience can guess who they are. Guess who we are.
All we have to hear is, like, okay, everyone say they're trash. Oh, that was Courtney. Trash. They're trash.
Trash.
Yep, yep.
Speaking of trash, that Orioles series.
Oh, yeah. You want to jump into that?
Go ahead, Todd. Lead us off.
The Orioles won 2 out of 3. I predicted a sweep, and
I blame Rally Chris.
Rally Chris,
I'm gonna get
Rally Chris. How dare you?
I'm gonna get another negative message on that.
I'm just saying, Rally Chris. If you're gonna give us, if you're gonna say that you're the reason we won, you have to be the reason we lost 1 to 113. Yeah, 1 to 13. Sorry, it felt like 113 points though. Runs, they just kept coming.
They scored 31 in 3 games against us. This is a team with 39 wins.
Yeah, they scored almost as many runs as they have wins.
Yeah, that's terrible.
Otani hit a home run.
Play that soundbite again.
Exactly.
And I'm calling all the angels. Here it is, guys. Otani.
13 runs later by the Orioles. 13 runs later, and we lose.
Yeah, I had so much hope. Like that leadoff home run today, I was like, oh, I was like, okay, that's a nice little start. Mm-hmm. And then this is unfortunate.
We're about to pick up some dubs, and then all that happened.
I was working, and it was like 1-1. Randy's like, all right, it's 1-1, fourth inning. And then all of a sudden, I check back like 20 minutes later. I'm like, oh, they're only in the fifth inning? It's 7-1. The hell? So I was like, all right, that game's over.
I was training today for work, so I mean, I saw when the game started, and I was like, "Oh, it's kind of early." I forgot, you know, the East Coast. So, well, the game started like at 10 or something, and then next thing you know, I get the notification. It's like Angels lost 13-1, and I'm like, you know, spit take. I'm like, "What?" Did we play the Phillies? I'm like, did we? When did we go to, you know, Philadelphia or, you know, somewhere good? I'm like frantically flipping through.
No,
I'm like, no, we're still playing the Orioles.
Yeah, no, we're in Camden Yards. I'm like, nope, this is all that it was. Were there any good takes? No, because we still almost lost the game that we won. So,
yeah, my favorite thing about this series, I only have one, and that's the fact that, again, for the third time this year, Madden, going back to what Fernando said earlier in the show, used Rossiel in a non-save situation, up 6 runs. He threw a lot of pitches in warm-up and then in the game, to where in game 2, where you really could have used him, he was not available. And you went with guys you literally got off the scrap heap hours before.
Yeah, that's how we do it.
The Halo way.
Self-sabotage at its finest. Marsh got his home run.
There you go.
Love to see it.
Sit here and pick and choose and try to flip through everything to find something good is already alarming. But yeah, Marsh got his home run, so that's nice. He should have had like 3 by now, but that's okay. Yep, that's okay. Yep. That's fine.
Doing well in general, though. Yeah,
yes, he is doing very well. I think, and Adele as well. I think we're trying to come up for a nickname for the two of them, or I think like Angel's Twitter, like just trying to come up for a nickname for both of them. That'd be nice. Maybe we should post that.
I like Dumb and Dumber. Not like in a negative connotation, but I just...
That's cold, man. That's cold.
I don't know. Everybody loves those movies. Not the second one.
Yeah.
My mom called Brandon Marsh a Wookiee from Star Wars because he's so hairy. Okay.
The Village People.
Yeah. She was like, he looks like a Wookiee. And I was like, what the fuck did you just call him? She was like,
from Wookiee. Star Wars.
Yeah, I know. And then she was like, do the sound. And I was like,
there you go. We know she can do it. That's pretty good.
Thank you.
We know she can do it.
A hidden talent.
Hey, wait a minute. How about the Rally Wookie?
Ooh.
Ooh, Rally Chris. That. Rally Chris triggered.
I know.
He got mad when I said Rally Turtle. He's like, not Rally Turtle.
Yeah, he's about to come for me right now if he hears that. A Rally Wookie. Ooh,
Courtney's canceled.
Canceled. Well, it wouldn't be the first time, so that's okay.
Yeah, I think he got canceled like last week or 2 weeks ago. Who knows?
Yeah, we brought you back.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, you're about to join Pepe Le Pew out there.
Yep. Man.
Yeah. Yeah, I overall, there's really not much to say about the Orioles series. It was a bad series. I mean, like Courtney said, I mean, even the game we won, it was a bad game. I mean, they almost blew it. You know, Wants didn't pitch very well. He's been very inconsistent, you know. I'm going to start calling him Katy Perry. You're hot, then you're cold, or yes, and you're no. You know, Guerra's the same way. Guerra will have, like – dude, Todd's getting aggressive with his eye rolls. Yeah. Guerra – will like have like, you know, 2 or 3 solid outings to the point where you're like, same with Myers, to the point where you're like, oh, well, these guys turned the corner. You know what? He might be okay. And it's gone.
Yeah. Exactly.
And you're like, oh, and there it goes. Like,
yeah, Guerra especially. I mean, at least C-Sheck makes you work for it and it's gone. Myers, the same thing. But Guerra's like, hey, check this out. Home run.
What I can do? I could blow this loop right now.
You want to see me give up a home run? You want to see me do it again?
Yeah, exactly. Watch how fast I walk this guy.
Yeah, right. You know, just because he's been doing well lately, I want to jinx him again. Steve Cechuk actually been decent lately.
Oh, shit. Here we go.
So is he going to blow the game on Saturday for us?
Yeah.
I don't worry. I knocked on someone. No, it'll be right, so.
Because
we've expected the opposite.
Let me just say this in advance. After that last game I went to, and now going on Saturday, I don't have any faith that we're going to get this win. You guys were talking about at the beginning of the show, hey, the Padres are kind of on a slide, this, this, and that. I'm still going in there like Padres in a route. I don't have any confidence. I just don't.
We're that new confidence boost for teams. Like, if they're on a losing streak, then they see us on the schedule, they're like, that's fine. We'll just go to Anaheim and we're just going to turn shit around over there.
That meme where the guy's like behind the trees. All...
Yeah. You know, like angels.
Hey, like, that's what you should do that tomorrow, dude. Put the Padre logo on that guy and have him like, oh, we got the angels next.
I mean, do you guys not remember when I put that little girl surrounded by the team?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Hey, I mean, I was right. I'm just saying. That meme was right.
Yeah,
hey, but you put that up at a time when the Angels were actually playing decent. So that was ballsy of you.
Well, I'm not going to say I'm like the king of hot takes, but I mean, only I can predict Kurt Suzuki homering twice in the next half. That's all I'm saying.
Like that girl on the couch, you saw it coming.
Yeah.
So. Oh, no.
Ooh. Ooh.
It's a good thing that because the team's not doing well, our numbers have gone down a little bit, so. Not as many people are going to hear this episode. For the people who are still dealing with our shenanigans, we love you. We really do. Thank you to our sponsors.
Tell your friends.
Thank you, guys. Thank you. Thank you for always listening and hearing our shenanigans.
Exactly. Thank you, Ray. Thank you, Ray's Energy. Use code HALOS at checkout for a discount. All natural energy drinks.
We got to get someone to buy a can.
Yeah, one.
I think all we're learning is that we really need to start like getting back with these BetterHelp ads, because clearly we need that help, like the three of us collectively. You guys, maybe we should do like couples counseling,
guys.
Like the three of us.
Oh my god! Like we invite people to like, oh, do you and your spouse need counseling? please come live on our free talk show.
No. I was gonna say that the three of us should like go to a therapist together.
Oh, no.
And we'll say like, oh, we're the three of us, like we're partners, and we try to like convince them that we're like in a relationship, but we're not. And he's like, oh, very interesting. And how do you feel? And Todd's all, he just never lets me talk. He always cuts me off.
And then they're like, and Courtney, how do you feel? They're like, well, I just hate everything, and everything is trash. I hate these two guys.
Yeah, she's always negative.
She's never happy.
She's always bringing us down.
She's always bringing us down. We don't know what to do with her. We can't feed her. She's never happy. Like
exactly. And then when I drink too much, I wake up when my ass hurts. So, I mean, I have that problem all the time. So.
Ooh, is that a Trevor? Is that a Trevor Bauer reference?
Yeah.
Oh, there you go. And canceled.
Yeah, I think we're done with this episode.
Yeah. All right, guys. Thank you guys so much for listening. Have a great day. Make sure to like, comment, subscribe, and share. Once again, thank you to our sponsors and check out the Redbubble.
Make sure you guys visit our website.
Yeah, there you go. Hails in the infield.